I didn't know that image would be up there. I want one of those suits. That looks like fun. Well, I'm going to remember that that's there in a few minutes and talk about it, I think. I don't wait well. Some of you who've known me for a really long time know that, and some of you who've known me for 10 or so years might know that as well, but I'm getting better. The reason I don't wait well is because I am so filled with anticipation to know what's going to happen, or for that thing that seems so exciting, or fearing the other shoe to drop. And I think one of the reasons that we have our liturgical year is because there are others who are just like me. They don't wait well. So when I read in Isaiah for today that those who wait upon the Lord, my first reaction is, oh, waiting, I don't do that well. We have a whole season of Advent before Christmas. I'm waiting to give gifts. I'm waiting for our special worship. I'm waiting to receive gifts. I'm waiting for the wonderful food and time with family and with our congregation. But Advent is a season of preparing. We don't just wait by sitting or standing where we are. We wait actively. We have the season of Lent that leads us to Holy Week and to Easter. That season begins in a couple of weeks. We don't wait without action, but we engage. The text from Isaiah reminds us that waiting upon the Lord isn't just a sitting or standing and seeing if God's going to show up, but it is indeed an active engagement. In fact, the word there in the Hebrew means wait to anticipate, but could also have shades of hope. You don't just wait. You wait for something, for someone, and there is hope as a part of that. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Well, this text in Isaiah 40 and the text that surround it in 39 and in 41 let us know that a huge part of waiting upon the Lord is realizing who God is. If we read the verses around that specific point about waiting for the Lord, we get part of God's resume. We realize that God is the God that creates and is sovereign over all that is. Where'd this come from? God. How'd this get here? God did it. Who has been our Redeemer? God has. We're also told by Isaiah, and as we're told time and time again in Scripture, that God does those things. But there are other false gods, idols, gods made of wood, gods made of metal, gods made up in our minds that are not responsible for those things. So realizing who God is, for whom we are waiting, is an important part of that. As you think about what it means to wait for the Lord, think about who is this Lord for whom you wait? Is it the God who is sovereign and creator of the universe? Is it the God who cares for you and for everyone? Is it a God that brings beauty and power and strength and time into being? That's the one for whom we wait. After we realize for whom we are waiting, I think we need to expect that one to show up. We need to expect that God is actually going to come. It's not enough for us to sit around and wait and say, oh yeah, we know who God is. God's powerful and mighty and wonderful and loving and gracious. We actually have to expect that God's going to show up in our lives. Sometimes I'm afraid that I make the mistake of talking a good game, but never really expecting God to show up. That's why every once in a while when God is moving through a community or God is moving in my life in a powerful way, I'm surprised. Sometimes people say to me, why are you surprised? You talk all the time about how God is this and God is that. Sometimes I'm flabbergasted because I'm not always expecting God to show up. And when God shows up in the world, God shows up in incredible ways. God reminds us who we are by letting us know who God is. Because God is creator and we are the created, that means that we are beloved and that God has intention for us in the world. When God shows up, God also lets us know what God does, and that helps us to know what we're called to do. And that's the third piece, I think, while we're waiting. We need to realize who God is. We have to actually expect God to show up in our lives, in our communities, and then we have to decide to do something about it. You ever had one of those moments in your life when you look back and you think, that might have been a God moment, but it's one where you missed the opportunity? I hate to look back and see those, but there have been moments when I have realized who God is. I've expected God to show up, but God didn't show up in the way that I anticipated, and I didn't decide at the right moment to be a part of God's movement. And I looked back and thought, God was very busy in that moment, and God's people were moving during that moment. But I never got past realizing and expecting to deciding to step in and be a part of that powerful movement. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. I think if they realize who God is, if they expect God to actually show up, and if they decide to participate. That's not all. Not only will we renew our strength as we wait upon the Lord, as we actively wait with anticipation and hope, but we will mount up on wings of eagles. We will run. We won't be weary. We'll walk and we will not faint. I saw an eagle the other day in Missouri, but not by the river. I couldn't believe it. In fact, it was a couple of weeks ago, we were driving back from the regional youth event, and the kids in the car were sort of dozing off, and Carol was recovering from having been a mentor to the youth all the time, and everybody was looking in different directions, but I was driving, so I was looking over in a field next to the road. Sorry. And what I saw was, out of the corner of my eye, this huge object coming down onto the median between the two areas of the highway. And it was an eagle. Wings spread, majestically landing. I said, oh my gosh, I just saw an eagle, but I didn't say it quickly enough and everybody's neck strained and I don't know if everybody got to see it, but it was just incredible. I love eagles. Eagle is the answer whenever we play the game at my house, which animal would you like to be? It's always between eagle and shark for me. Because, of course, you want to be on top of the food chain, right? You know, bunny rabbits are nice, but eagles eat them. Goldfish and seals and swimmers are nice, but sharks eat them. And I always think it would be so wonderful to be an eagle. So this text appeals to me. I can just feel what that must be about. And it seems that it's about several things. The first thing it's about in the book of Isaiah is reminding us of our story. When Isaiah was talking to Israel and says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, they'll mount up on wings of eagles, they couldn't help, I think, but remember the story of the Exodus. How they were delivered from Egypt. How they realized who God was. They began to expect God to show up, and they decided to follow Moses and Miriam and Aaron into the wilderness. In fact, they're told in Exodus 19, right before the giving of the Ten Commandments, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done for you. On eagle's wings I've brought you to this place. When in Isaiah, we are told that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings of eagles. Surely we remember that story. God saying, look what I've done for you. I brought you here on eagle's wings. And again, in Deuteronomy 32, a similar story. God is saying, look what I've done for you. And the story is told differently in 32, in Deuteronomy 32. It's about how the adult eagle takes the baby eagles as they begin to learn to fly. Because that eagle I saw on the highway landing wasn't born knowing how to fly. Something had to happen. I guess that eagle at some point had to realize it was an eagle, realize it was in a bird family. It had to expect that something was going to happen. And at some moment, some fateful moment, it had to decide that it was going to fly. My guess is it was the moment when Mama Eagle lets go. I'm a trained aquatic lifesaver and water safety instructor. I've taught thousands of children how to swim, and it takes perseverance, it takes time, and there's a method to it. It's very, very important because there's a lot of fear involved and trust involved. But here's how I taught my youngest son how to swim. I already knew that he was pretty brave, and I'd already seen him really working in a friend's pool. It was about 4 feet deep, so I knew what he could do. And we were in Botswana, and there was this pool, and it was deep, and it was long, and I just knew he was ready. And I said to him, hey, if you swim across the length of this pool, I'll get you a t-shirt from the gift shop. We were at a game reserve. I thought all he needed was just a little incentive, and he was going to be a serious swimmer. I knew he had the skills. I knew he was comfortable in the water. I would never teach anyone to swim this way, but I knew my son could do it. I grabbed him by the back of the trunks and tossed him in the water. And he swam. Now, I was ready to grab him, and he wasn't afraid. He was excited and ready to go and everything. I would never do that if I were teaching your children how to swim. But just like a parent eagle at some point knows that the kids are ready, right? Knows that they've got the skills, knows that the feathers are ready, let's go and is there in case, but they begin to fly. When God says that I brought you on eagle's wings, I don't think God was only saying, I let you jump on my back and I took you where you needed to be. God was saying, I got you to where you needed to be and I gave you what you needed to do what has to happen. I prepared you. I set you off. You were ready. I nurtured you. I got you going. We can't just wait for God to come and to do it all for us. We have to realize who God is, expect God to show up, and decide to participate. And when we do, we will be lifted on wings as of eagles. And something incredible happens, I think, when you're on eagle's wings, or when you're in one of those fantastic flying suits. Let's take a look at this person in this flying suit right now. Look at the perspective. From right here, I can see a lot of things. But there's a lot of stuff I can't see. I can't see the big picture. Look how big the picture is from up there. What kind of perspective do we get when we mount up on wings as of eagles? You can see the curve of the earth in this picture. Perspective is the first thing about which I want to speak. When we wait upon the Lord and our strength is renewed, we mount up on wings of eagles, we have perspective. We see things from God's point of view as much as we are able, and we decide differently. When we have a long perspective, when we have a broad perspective, when we have a perspective that's more in line with God's perspective, we think not only about history and future, but we think about people. And not just people near us or like us, we think about all people who are in God's care, who have been created by God, and we realize then that some people are oppressed. Some people are forgotten. Some people are ignored. Some people are pushed away. with wings like eagles, we gain perspective. If we here today wait upon the Lord, if we actively hope for God's presence in our lives and we expect it and we decide to participate, our perspective changes. I saw an article the other day about perspective. This came out from the Economic Policy Institute, and it has to do with the fact that Amazon has been searching for new headquarters, and Amazon also has distribution centers all over the place. And whatever they're doing, they're really doing it incredibly. One time, I ordered a book in the morning, and it showed up at my house the same afternoon. I don't know how that happened. But I guess it had something to do with these distribution centers. Well, the Economic Policy Institute knows that lots of communities want to have one of those distribution centers. And so they give all kinds of tax incentives. They say to Amazon, if you come here and our people get jobs, we're not going to make you pay taxes, and you can have this land, and we're going to rezone for you. And all of those things are going to happen because they've got this economic perspective that says we want our friends and neighbors to have jobs, and we think Amazon can help. So the Economic Policy Institute did this long study, and they looked at all the different places where that happened, and what they realized was this. This is a bit of a surprise to me. They realized that in all the cases, it turned out that the presence of the new Amazon distribution center didn't really net any jobs in those areas. For the first couple of years, there were some new jobs, but then other jobs were lost. And it always leveled off, and there was never a net increase over time. I was reading that, and I thought to myself, oh, well, that's a bummer. But they gave all that land, and they rezoned, and they gave away all the tax money and all of that, but they didn't get what they thought. And then the EPI said, but we've done other studies on something that will change how jobs happen and what your community is. And it was something that they mentioned from a completely different perspective, a perspective that maybe you could only get from a flying squirrel suit, like we've got on the screen here, or on eagle's wings, or the perspective of the God who is the sovereign of all the earth. This is what the EPI said. And this is why it caught my attention. Better than changing your tax system and rezoning and giving things away so Amazon will come. And I'm not just picking on Amazon. I think this probably works with other companies as well. EPI said, focus on early childhood education. I about fell off my chair. But when you change your perspective and you say, you know what? If we nourish and equip and educate and care for our young people, and we have structures and systems that work for their benefit, all of their benefit, things change. Mounting up on wings of eagles gives us a new perspective. But it doesn't stop there, does it? We can run and not be weary. My wife and daughter and son, my youngest son, can run miles and miles and miles. I don't know how many miles my oldest son can run. But I know that I've got a heart murmur and I can run approximately a third of a mile before I'm weary. My heart just can't do what it needs to do for that distance running. I need more power. Actively waiting upon the Lord not only gives us perspective, but it gives us power. Power to do the things that God would have us do. Power to perceive what is happening around us and to engage. Imagine what it means to have a perspective and to know that you've got the power to do something about what you see. We're not the smallest congregation in town, but we're very, very far from being the largest congregation in town. But with God's perspective on wings of eagles, we have an incredible amount of power. We can actually change and engage our community in ways that you just wouldn't expect. And sometimes all it takes is for us to expect God to show up and for us to act and think from God's perspective. I'll tell you just briefly that I was in a meeting a couple of days ago here in our local area with a local business person. Through the Kirkwood Area Every Child Promise, we've been trying to find out how businesses can engage with what we do, and we had engaged with this wonderful business person whose name I will tell you in a few weeks once we've got all the things lined up, but who said, oh gosh, yes, I'm in. My goods and services are going to be for this work. There will be discounts, there will be priorities, there will be engagement. My staff is on board. We care about what you are doing, and it's going to change the lives of people who are struggling in our own area. Now, that's not the first meeting like that I've had. When we offer an expectation and we share our perspective, power increases when people hear the story, open their hearts, prepare their hands, and participate. Wings like eagles, perspective. Run and not be weary, power. Walk and not faint, perseverance. If we realize who God is, we expect God to show up and we decide to participate in what God is doing in the world, not only will we gain a new perspective, not only will we be empowered, but we will gain perseverance. You know, 40 days in the desert is a long time. When we get ready to move through Lent, you might think about that. What must it have been for Jesus to have been in the desert for 40 days? Right at the end of that story, in one of our Gospels, it says he was famished. You're not kidding. 40 years in the wilderness is a long time. Imagine Moses and Miriam and Aaron and all of the Israelites, 40 years, year after year, but realizing that God had shown up, that God was providing for them, and that God was leading them, they were able to persevere. 400 years of chattel slavery is a long time. Dozens of generation time now. But in the midst of that struggle, people who are captured, chained, abused, enslaved, and who bore new generations into that same enslavement found a way to persevere, found a way to walk through it, found a way in the midst of the awful abuse, found a way to speak and live their truth. Those 40 days in the wilderness continue for us today. We, like Jesus, have to ask and answer questions about who God is and who we are. Do we realize who God is? Do we expect God to show up? Will we decide to participate? We are still in the midst of those 40 years. Knowing that from which we have been freed, knowing we haven't made it yet, realizing each day is a new challenge and a new step. Our African-American sisters and brothers are still in the midst of that 400-year journey, and we are now on it with them, realize it or not. If we realize who God is, we'll know that, of course, they and all people and animals and plants in the world are God's beloved creation, empowered to change, to share, to give, to love. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us wait upon God, realizing who God is, expecting that God is showing up in our lives and deciding to participate in what God is doing in the world. Let us use the perspective that we gain Let us share the power that we receive, and let us move forward each and every moment, each and every day, with perseverance. Because the God who created us and the God who redeemed us will continue all the while to sustain us. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.